Welcome to Game Slackers.
Oh no, go to the polls. No, that has nothing to do with anything.
On UMFM 101.5.
It's a radio station. Thanks, Megan.
I was going to take your...
We were just talking about how if you have an iPad and you're not over a certain age, you probably shouldn't have games like Uno or Crib on your iPad.
Look, it's my iPad now. I will load whatever games
I know, but
I
you're a hip young person with an iPad now. Like
I say as I cough up my whole lung.
I don't even have a card game on my iPad, Megan.
Kidding me? I used to play cribbage on the bus all the time.
You know what? Here's the thing. I have definitely have a free cell or a solitaire thing on my phone. And I 100% feel that it can be on my phone. That's allowed. On your iPad, Megan, it's huge. Your iPad has a huge screen. Maybe, you know what, if you have trouble with the tiny phone screen, sure, I'll give it to you. But
I've been playing lots of Sailor Moon drops.
Oh, you have? Never mind. Megan has already, never mind, you already added games.
I added one game.
The iPad is already ruined. It's fine. Add your Uno. Add your Monopoly.
So
I love to add chess.
Actually, there is one that's called Really Bad Chess.
Monopoly Chess.
Oh, Monopoly Chess.
Yeah.
The good old classic Christmas game
get you a Hasbro Games compilation for the iPad.
You can do that.
I'm sure, and it feels bad saying that.
Maybe I can get old classics like Millboard and Payday.
No, it will be updated versions.
And Clue.
Shiny, new, and terrible.
And
Megan got an iPad, so we're gonna... As we maybe already know, I have an iPad, and I bought some games for it because I like my iPad a lot. And I was like, well, there are legit games on it that you can't get unless you have iOS system, which is kind of annoying. I understand only building for one platform or thing. Like, I get it. It's just, you know, up until this point, I couldn't play things that I really did want to play because I thought they were cool. And I'm like, well, I don't want to. I would love to support it if I could play it, sort of thing. Like, for example, I think it's eventually coming to Android. But Vignettes was one which we've talked about, which is basically it's weird because it has beautiful, beautiful, wacky colors. And it's basically you have an object, and by certain ways you spin or move the object on the screen, it transforms into another object. And you sort of get multiple objects from that. And it's just sort of an enjoyable, chill, little, pretty game. Like, and that's definitely one that I remember seeing it when it came out. And I was like, no, I don't have anything that could play this. Not my Mac, my poor old Mac, but no phones. But yeah, but there's also, you know, good old Monument Valley.
I was thinking Monument Valley would be one that I'd finally treat myself to.
Yeah, I would say check out both of them because they are both fantastic. Like, one and two, like, they're both great. Like, I can't say bad things about either.
I believe it's from the same people who produced Journey. Flower is available on iOS.
Yeah.
And we've played Flower before, but I'd be willing to play it again
We played Flow. Flower is the one with the flowers. Here's the thing.
I've played Flower.
You've played Flower. I've only ever played Flow and Journey from that game company is what it's
Flower,
called.
I played Flower then.
You've played Flower, which it looks cool. Yeah, I like them. They're good. You know what? I would love if the game Everything came to the iOS.
Yeah.
Because that's a really fun little, like, I think you could pretty easily modify the controls. Like, there wouldn't be that much to do. You could probably honestly set your little character in a direction and go.
Yeah.
Right? I think it would be perfect. Give me that game on the iOS. I would play it on my iPad.
Wasn't our favorite Night in the Woods supposed to come out on iOS as well?
Yes, I think so. I honestly have not found it. That was one, maybe I did find it, but I just was like, I don't want to pay $20 again. and again and again, but I kind of do. I think it might be.
Eventually, you'll have paid enough to have a AAA game.
Well, I already paid. Like, I paid. I kickstarted it for like $150. So I've already AAA gamed it like twice, and it's fine. I'll pay for that game several times because it's so good. And I have paid for it several times because it's so good. So it's fine. Doesn't matter. But yeah, those are ones I really like. Gorgoa is, I showed you, and I let you play it a little bit. That one, it's sort of a puzzle game, and it's super, it all looks very hand-drawn, which is really neat. I guess it might all be hand-drawn, but I would assume it's probably mostly digital at the same time, but... And it's just sort of almost like a picture book that you are able sort of to travel in and solve puzzles in.
Now, you were making fun of me before we started because I was thinking board games. Now, the assortment of board games that are available aren't just Monopoly and Hasbro and Uno. I'm talking like Agricola, Carcassonne, Pandemic, and Settlers of Catan.
Oh, yeah. Here's a question. Can we play these together?
I'm pretty sure we can rig it up that we can play it together.
That's interesting. Like, because that's would be something that I'm actually interested in it because we actually have the same device of something. Like, we, you know.
We own the physical copy. I own the physical copy of Settlers of Catan. But yeah. I think
well,
this
I'm
is...
like, we can't. It just won't work that way, Megan.
No.
It won't go into the iPad.
We can use that dying. That,
why won't it go? Why won't the pieces, why can't we play together? Yeah.
So, if you don't want the messy setup, pull it up on the iPad. And personally, I do really like Pandemic.
Sure. I'm always just very wary of, like, board game to handheld or whatever. Like, they always mostly, like, not always, but I'm going to say almost all the time, they feel like a very cheap cash grab. Like, you know, when they used to put those game discs in your cereal. They used to give you a game. Yeah, like I remember. I had one. I don't remember, but I'm going to say we maybe played it once and I was like, I am not here for this. I'm here for the physical versions of these games.
You realize that I do have the Super Nintendo Monopoly somewhere.
That's fine. I don't want to play it.
I'll rope Jesse.
I don't think it, like, I just, they're not that fun. Real board game, real Monopoly is at least kind of enjoyable. But I just do not, I honestly am sorry. I just don't feel the value in like a video game version.
I'm going to take.
Yeah.
I just remembered something else I own. And I'm taking a step back from console video games to actual video cassette games.
Mm-hmm.
I had Clue on the, I think it was actually Betamax. It was the disc was the tape was too big for us to play in our VCR.
Okay.
But that was a thing that existed.
Did you play it?
No, but I looked at it a lot.
Okay, that doesn't count, Megan.
No, but I actually had a game on video.
Well, yeah, I think that's a thing. Like, there's a lot of DVDs with games, like, that are specifically just games. Like, in VHS where you would pause it and stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
Yep. I remember those. They were terrible. They're not that fun. Like, you think it'll be cool? It's not as cool as you want it to be. Let's talk about good games now, Megan.
Fine.
None of this. It just makes me think of just very, very old and boring games. Like, it was like that was the only game on your grandma's computer other than, like, Solitaire or something.
Grandma was mean. At Solitaire and Nintendo Monopoly.
Well, I'm like, right? But it wasn't that fun. No. No, Megan, it wasn't.
Had to do something to keep warm in the winter.
I guess so.
Gather around the warm glow of the TV.
And play Monopoly.
Play Monopoly.
Ugh.
Okay, so you have been playing a couple games.
Over the last week. Yes. I found out that you bought this, and I don't know why I didn't remember or didn't know that you had this because I've been wanting to play it for a really long time. So
you need to go through our library.
You apparently just buy willy-nilly. So I apparently do because I had no idea about these two games. But finally got to play Rhyme, which I feel I've talked about because I saw the trailer, I want to say a year and a bit ago. And I talked about how I'm like, oh, I love how it looks. It's very that it has that sort of cell shaded bright colors that is very like, I love that look. It kind of reminds me of Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, Last Guardian kind of vibe. So Team Ico, I love that. So I was like, yeah, looks cool. Kid on a deserted island thing and has to figure out what, like, what's up. It's okay. Like, I can sort of see where it didn't get a lot of hype after it was released. Like, I definitely remember sort of hearing about it before it came out. And then I didn't really see any reviews, but I sort of heard it was like, it was okay. It wasn't amazing. It was okay.
So what do you think was the big thing that made it not reach your expectations?
Like, here's the thing. Some of it's a little confusing. I would say for the most part, it's almost 100% linear. Like, you can, there are puzzles. They're not that tricky. Like, they're pretty, I wouldn't say hand-holdy, but it does sort of, like, it gives you stuff that it's like, here, you learned how to do this, so here, obviously, you use it here. So it wasn't, like, it was pretty smart that way. I'm honestly going to say what bummed me out was kind of the story, because
it looked like it was supposed to have a major emotional gut punch, but at the same time, it didn't set it up right.
Yeah, and I guess this is going to be spoilers for the end of it. Like, I'm not going to, I'm just going to spoil the ending. I'll get into it, but it does set itself up as sort of like you are a sort of, I don't want to say, like, you're not a real person slash you're like a fantasy character. Like, the character is not dressed up in jeans and shirt, right? He sort of has, he has sort of bangles around his arms. He has a weird little headband. He has a little red scarf, like, cape thing. And he has sort of weird shorts. Like, he doesn't look he doesn't look like a Nathan Drake, right? He
looks like a little fantasy character.
Yeah. So I very much thought this was purely fantasy. And to be honest, I like parts of how this goes, but I think in the end, it just sort of was kind of like, what? Like, that's what this is about?
Now, I had been watching you play this, and at the end, it sort of,
there's like 4 chapters, which I didn't know the chapter names, which also I feel give a huge hint to what actually is happening. So maybe if, here's the thing, maybe if I got those chapter names, I might have clued in or was like, ah, I see, I get it a little bit. So the chapter names are basically, what is it?
The 5 stages.
Yeah, the 5 stages of grief. Which are
denial, bargaining,
either depression and then acceptance,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And so those are the titles of the chapters. You don't ever see those if you play the game all the way through, which I mostly did because it's about a 5-hour game. Ish.
1 hour per stage of grief, everybody.
Yeah. And the thing is, it just is, yeah, in the end, you find out basically the whole thing is sort of, it's supposed to be a representation of purgatory sort of thing, or limbo, if we want to put it that way. Like the stage between dying and death, I guess, right? Like,
yeah, purgatory.
Like, yeah, or, like going to.
No, it is limbo, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't really get this, and I can see where it comes from, like, after having played the game, but there wasn't, the way they set up this fantasy world, and the things that are happening, and even sort of, like, the bits you have, the story that's there, it very much sets it up as this is sort of very fantastical. Like, it did very much remind me of Ico. It reminded me of Journey in the way that it sort of has its, it has some of its lore hidden, kind of, you know, like some of the little screens, like the artifacts or the wall paintings, right?
You got extra bits as you went along that had another story pertaining to them, and it seemed like it was the story of the boy and his mother and parents.
Yeah, and it sort of sets it up as this boy is, I want to say, he is maybe the ruler of the kingdom, or he is the to-be ruler of this fantasy kingdom. And the father is really sad because the mother has died. Of course, mama gotta die. And it's just like, here's the thing that I would accept that as, like, I didn't get all of that story bit because it is purely something to find in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, there is about 5 different things you can find, which are outfits, some kind of weird stone things that don't do anything, a bunch of toys, which here's the thing with the toys is they also don't look, they're not like a robot. They're like a rudimentary stuffed fox, a little pinwheel, like things that you could have in a fantasy oldie time kingdom, like things that I could easily see kids having, like not out of place, not modern.
It's not like you found his Game Boy tucked away somewhere.
I didn't. I did not, Megan. And there was things like, the one thing in this game is that it's sort of his powers tied to his voice. And one thing, he shouts and then things glow and stuff happens. Like, and I would assume this has to do with his quote-unquote royalty. But that is never explained at all. Because, like, there's also things like there's a little fox spirit that shows up. There are these robots that are just ball, like, a circle with legs. And they're super, like, I like the robots. They're one of my favorite parts about it. And, like, surprisingly.
Robots with legs for days.
They are. It's really, they have very long legs. But it's, like, it's honestly, that was one of the saddest parts. Because at one point, this robot has to sacrifice himself so you can go through the door. And this is the robot that has sort of been your only friend for, like, the past level and a half that you made, by the way. You forged this robot. So, and now you have to go. And the robot sacrifices itself for you. And that was, like, the saddest part of the game. Not the part where this is about this child dying and his dad is sad. Like, that is the final ending. Or the final part, the final level.
That spoiled the whole...
spoilers, by the way. I did say I was going to spoil it. That's how it was going to go. Well, I did say he was in purgatory, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to get better. I'm sorry, guys. That's not the way this game works. But yeah, and so you get to play as the dad at the final end bit, which I was very like, what? Okay, I guess. Like,
it didn't really give the emotional impact that it probably could have.
No, not the same as with this robot, which is so ridiculous. Once again, I'm sort of like, because it was almost like seconds between the father letting go of his son's little red cape and then him seeing his ghost son and hugging, and then the game was over, versus this robot scene where I'd been with the robot for, like, a good hour and a half.
Okay, the weirdest thing was with the hugging between the dad and the kid. It was the fastest, most cold hug I have witnessed in a video game.
Yeah,
it was
right?
Like a quick embrace and off you go, child.
Off you go to Ghost World, I guess. Yeah, I just didn't. And from a game that, here's, once again, you made me feel real sad. And I do have a robot bias. I believe that and I understand it. But, like, the thing is that the robot was more a character, set up as more of a character than the father, which they do. Here's the other thing. They do have the father showing up in various spots in the game, which is neat. And I do like this because it's, like, random. Not random, but, like, it'll just be a place you're just looking out in the world. And then it's like, oh, he's over there just looking at you. And he's in this red coat, so you just sort of, I just assumed that, yeah, he was your dad, and he was the king of this kingdom, right? So you do see him, and he shows up, and he sort of leads you around, but there's never really, like, he's sad that you're dead, or he knows that you're dead, or he's, like, trying to get you back or anything. There's, and I get it. He, you know, the kid died at the sea. Like, he fell overboard. That's how, you know, and sort of he washes up on this place, right? Of course. But it was just sort of not there. Not the emotion that I wanted. Not the same where I was real sad about the robot sacrificing himself so the kid could go forward. Even though this robot is just like a theoretical limbo robot. He doesn't exist, apparently. So, I just, yeah. I wish it was a real, like, I'm using quotes here, real place rather than, yeah, like, this is
limbo. Probably would have had far more impact had it been treated as less of a fantastical story.
Yeah. You know what? Even if this was a real place and then this is maybe where the dead go to ascend, right? But none of that's really explained or none of that. It's just sort of, it feels random a bit, which is too bad.
Too bad.
Yeah. It's not a bad game. It's just like, I wish it made more sense. How about that? I wish I liked the story more because that is the thing that I'm often most invested in.
Yeah.
Like, game mechanics are very okay. He is kind of annoying to control sometimes.
Well, it looked like it was very much in the Team Aiku sense of controls.
And that's why I'm sort of like, is this game just sort of maybe them trying to figure out themselves and trying to, like, it's not really inspired very much, or maybe it's just not that deep, but it's inspired by a bunch of stuff and it's just sort of a practice. Like, that's fine. I just wish I had enjoyed the story better.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all.
Now here, let's hear me talk about another game that I've, because I beat that one. Yeah.
I have a lot of games hidden in my library that I got for very cheap or for free.
That I didn't know Megan had, once again.
A lot of PlayStation Network games that I just downloaded and forgot that they were there.
Which is fine. Like, here's the thing. I came across it and I was like, I don't want to play Fallout 4 anymore, guys.
It's time to break this habit.
It's time to... I haven't beat it, which I said I would, but I did get to level 50, which... And I did say I'd stop at level 50. So I did I did live up to one of my bargains or whatever, my rules of my life.
So you started playing Infamous 2.
No, I don't think it's 2. I think Infamous 2 is an entirely different thing, Megan. Like, not entirely different, but I think...
You started playing Infamous.
Second Son. Let's be particular here. Because I think there's an Infamous 2, and then Infamous Second Son. Not 100%, but I feel that it does an Assassin's Creed. Where it's Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood... Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Why does it make sense, you ask? It doesn't need to. So yeah, I started playing Infamous, and it's pretty enjoyable. Am I correct, Megan, about our Infamous?
You keep talking about Infamous, and I'm going to find the list.
So I've never played one. I know very little about it. I actually remember seeing, like, trailers for the first one. And it's basically like you're a superhero. Basically, you can either be a superhero or a supervillain. And I think that's sort of the choice in this game. This is with me not having played the other ones. Because I just never came across them. I will say, I am correct. There is a couple.
It's the fourth one.
Yeah, see, there's one called Festival of Blood. That sounds excessive. But yeah, so Infamous Second Son is actually, I was interested in it because I had a friend who wanted to cosplay a character from it and asked me specifically because one of the main character is actually indigenous, which is cool and a thing that you'd see, like, never as the main character. So main character is Delson, and he doesn't have his superhero powers, but he gets them from another, they're not superheroes. At this point in time, they're treated like they're called bioterrorists by people.
They're X-Men.
Yeah, actually, this is basically X-Men. Now that every time I think about it, I'm like, how to explain this game? Oh, right. It's just X-Men, where they don't like the X-Men. They're bad. But the X-Men can either do good things or bad things. So in this time, I am very hardcore pushing the good side because I can't be evil in video games because it hurts me too much. And in this game, it does ding you for being bad if you are trying to be good. And I would assume also it does it vice versa for the other thing. Like, if you're trying to be bad and you do something good.
Oops.
And it's fun. Like, I am having fun. I think the controls are probably the most enjoyable part. The story is sort of, like, whatever. The characters are pretty good. Like, Delson as a character is pretty, like, he's kind of a brat. Like, a bratty 20-year-old. And who hasn't grown up, which is fine. Like, I can get behind that. And he does some graffiti, which is very Banksy-like, but that's fine.
But you got to paint a picture of a kitten.
Yeah, with some fish. Like, there's some cute stuff. I don't hate it. It's a very, like, I don't want to say interesting game. I'm enjoying it so far. It's kind of, I don't want to even say a nothing game, but it's sort of like one of those where it's just like I press buttons and stuff happens.
Now,
which is fine.
When you're trying to explain to me that you had started playing this game, it's very similar to another couple of games that I downloaded. Which was Prototype and Prototype 2. Very, very similar. So I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot I had that. Yeah. I totally had no clue that I got Infamous Second Son at all.
I think it's fine, to be honest, that I'm starting with not even the first game, or not even in the series of the first game. Which is like, well, here's the thing. It's fine. They've sort of already set up the world. And I will say this game is kind enough that it's sort of already, it gives you, the person who has never played the game before, like myself, it gives us a lot of backstory and sort of like, what is going on? Why is this happening? Who are these guys that are trying to kill you? And why? Why do you have magical powers? Okay. But otherwise, like, I'm enjoying it. I will probably play it all the way through unless, it gets super boring.
I think we're going to go through the library and I'm going to get you to try a couple other games that I haven't.
See how I enjoy them. I just
Sleeping Dogs, because I want to see how that turns out.
Yeah, and that's another one that sometimes I just, you just like to brute force your way through.
That's my style of gameplay anyway.
Yeah, it's not, once again, I'm not disenjoying it. I don't hate the story. Like, it's very whatever right now, but hopefully it gets better, or hopefully it just is fun. Like, there we go. Those are my options, or else I hate it and I stop playing it. There we go.
So, over the weekend, we also got Octopath Traveler, so I'm going to work my way through that.
Here's my review. I'm 10 hours in, and I don't have all of the characters yet. It's fantastic. I will say I don't care for not being able to skip things faster, but that's my life, and I need to do that.
That's for next week.
It's fun. I'll talk once I've put another 10 hours in. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll get to it.
Once I put a couple hours into my own.
Like a two. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for you for this week. You have a good week, and keep smiling.
Bye.